Travelling around and you've been away for a while. I'm not sure how much of the cricket you've been able to catch for the last week or so, but a highly, highly dramatic day of Test match cricket. What do you make of it all? Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Michael, and thank you once again for having me on the show. It's been a while, so thank you. No, I've been away, but I've been following the cricket closely. It's mad cricket season. I got away before the mad December home tour of Pakistan and now Sri Lanka. I think it's been an interesting match, Michael. You came with a lot of records that have fallen and that's occurred today in a day of madness. And I don't think anyone saw this coming last night when the game was called off for rain after 20 overs and we were in a bit of trouble. We had 80 overnight and then we slumped a little bit as well before a bit of a fight back. But absolutely remarkable, like you said, just over an hour for 9 wickets. And the second shortest test innings in over 100 years. And unfortunately, South Africa still holds that. But an absolutely outstanding day for South Africa cricket.
It was, absolutely. I mean, it didn't start well for South Africa. They lost Kyle Varane early on in the morning. Then two cheap wickets fell for a very, very poor shot played by Gerald Coetzee. Keshav Maharaj tried to rest the initiative a bit. He played some nice shots, particularly took on the spinner and then played a nothing shot to get out. And with Vion Mulder sitting there with potentially a broken finger in the change room, it looked terrible for South Africa at 117 for 7, effectively 117 for 8. But the tail wagged around Themba Bavuma. And then, as you say, at about 10 to 1 this afternoon, Sri Lanka came out to bat. And there were no immediate signs of anything terrible happening. And all of a sudden, one wicket fell, two wickets fell, three wickets, four wickets. Sri Lanka went from 32 for 4 to 32 for 8. And eventually bowled out for 42. And the key thing about it, having done commentary for much of the day on this match, is the big bowler who did all the damage, Marco Jansen, took 7 for 13, which is the second best figures ever for a bowler who's taken 7 wickets in a test innings, the best being Steve Harmison, 7 for 12. But the fact is he didn't bowl particularly well. I thought Rabada started outstandingly. And Jansen bowled a couple of no balls, some wides. He was a bit all over the place. But when he got it right, it was telling. But he'll take those figures any day of the week. And this test match just completely turned around 180 degrees. So what do you put it down to? Do you think, having watched it and followed it closely, was it bad shot selection? Was it good bowling? Was it the conditions? What do you think contributed to this amazing thing that nobody saw coming?
Well, let's go back, and you're correct. It was 117 for 7, and Maharaj was going to come in. And if your listeners can remember, Maharaj has had 4 ducks in a row in test cricket. So his 24 contribution at the end was invaluable to get us, obviously, to the 191. And you are correct. Rabada struck early. Jansen was struggling, bowled some no balls. They, in the press conference afterwards, he put it down to the wind, number one. He said it was like playing in PE. Second of all, he's changed his run-up. He's made it a bit shorter. And he was just struggling. And he decided to go one step back from his normal run-up, and he found some rhythm. He also stated that very early on, they realized that short of a length was going to be much better for the bowlers to try and go above the wickets than a fuller length as it was moving quickly off the pitch. I think he got a lot of nip from it, and that changed the game. I also put it down, Michael, and I think he was very honest in his opinion too, that Sri Lanka played some very horrible shots. Mm. Their defense wasn't good. They kept playing wide outside the off stump. That's why a lot of dismissals were going to slip as well, and probably didn't apply themselves correctly to that pitch. The pitch moved, the pitch nipped, and the ball went off quickly off the pitch. But it wasn't a terrible pitch at all.
No, absolutely not. And for 19 wickets to fall in a day of Test match cricket, you'd think there should be a pitch inquiry as what's going on here. But as you say, some horrible shots played, a lot of wickets given away. Effectively, the match situation now, Kevin, South Africa in a very, very strong position. 281 ahead, 7 second innings wickets in hand. One of the men out is Vion Mulder, who will probably now be out of the series. So he's a man who bats down the order. South Africa, after these two that are in at the moment, Bavuma and Stubbs, have some very attacking players in Bedingham, in Verena, in Marco Jansen, in Gerald Coetzee, even Maharaj and Rabada themselves, who can come in and force the pace if they need to. but so much time left to play. The weather forecast for the next 2 days looks pretty good. A lot of rain expected on Sunday, but the match will probably not go into Sunday. So South Africa with a real chance to win this particular test match and give themselves good hope of potentially playing in the Test Championship final next season or next year at Lord's, and at the same time eliminating one of their opposition in Sri Lanka. So a lot of birds can be killed with a single stone here.
They can, but I know we spoke about a month and a half ago and we called one of the test matches dead with England and Pakistan.
Yes,
and then
there
was a collapse. So I stopped making predictions, but we are 281 runs ahead. I think we'll try and get to 400 to 420 before we declare and put them back in. I do believe that'll be too many runs. And but don't count Sri Lanka out. We counted them out last time they were in South Africa and they came and won both test matches. Their preparation has also been excellent. A lot of their batsmen came 10 days before the series to prepare. Yeah? And sometimes you just have bad days. It happens in sport. I wouldn't count them out. They are ahead of us in the World Test Championship at this point as we talk. So let's not count them out. Cricket is a funny game.
No, absolutely. I take your point entirely. I mean, we saw what happened in that test match in 2019 when Kusal Perera was joined by Vishwas, playing, in fact, in this test match. They came together with 76 still needed. Looks as if South Africa were going to win the match comfortably by about 50 or 60 runs. Perera played the innings of his life. He, of course, now no longer plays test match cricket. But Vishwa at the other end stayed with him, made six not out in the stand of 78. And Sri Lanka won that match by one wicket and then went on a week later to win in PE fairly comfortably, win that series by 2-0. But you just fancy that just the whole body language, the way things change, because the Sri Lankans went off the field having bowled South Africa out after that extended morning session for 191. They were buoyed. There was a spring in their step. They came out an hour later and were completely shell-shocked. And the body language coming out into the field for the afternoon session when South Africa began their second innings was just completely deflated. They started with no energy at all, and they just looked like a completely defeated side. So if they are able to turn this around and somehow get themselves in a position where they could win the match, it'll be one of the most remarkable turnarounds in Test match history.
It will be, Michael, and especially with it only being a 2-match series. And they spoke to, obviously, the coach. They even spoke to Neil McKenzie, because if you can remember, Neil McKenzie has been brought in as the Sri Lankan batting consultant, which doesn't look great on his CV at this point, putting a lot of work into the Sri Lankan batsman. 42 does take a massive knock on the confidence. And you're 100% correct, Michael. If they are able to come back from this, even in the second innings or in the second match, it will be a massive turnaround. And the Proteas have an incredible bowling lineup. They're one of the best in the world. If Rabada doesn't get you, we saw today that Jansen will get you. If not, we've still got Kutsia. Once again, only three bowlers bowled today in the innings. So they're going to be fresh as well for the second innings. So it looks in our favor. But like I say, cricket is a funny game.
The other point, of course, is that Vian Mulder will not do any bowling in this match. That's been confirmed. So
yeah,
if the Sri Lankan openers can get some sort of partnership going and can see off Jansen and Rabada in the second innings, then it's Gerald Kutsia, and I expect Keshav Maharaj to have to bowl a fair number of overs. So that could be something that plays in Sri Lanka's favour. But, of course, Sri Lanka need to have a lot more energy. They need a breakthrough early tomorrow morning and just to turn things around. But as you say, Kevin, quite correctly, I mean, if you look at their top seven, four of them have got double hundreds in test match cricket. The other three have got big single hundred figures. So they're all quality players. The question is just, can they adapt in South African conditions? Can they eliminate the bad strokes? And can the bowlers at least give their batters a chance as the test match continues?
And you, once again, you are correct. And you had this discussion with Ken, I believe, on Monday or Tuesday, speaking about the pitch, especially when Themba said, look, we're not going to ask for a certain kind of pitch. I think deep down, the curator knew which kind of pitch South Africa would want. I think they would know what plays into their hands. And it seemed to be working against us when we lost the toss and were put in cloudy conditions. However, very few teams in the world will be able to bat against those three top bowlers, quick bowlers that we have. I think the pitch will improve. It also improves a lot when the ball gets a bit older. We're 40 overs into our innings already. So I don't think it'll play too many tricks with us over the next 20, 30 overs. and possibly we'll have 420, 450 by then. And then I think that's match over.
So the question now is then, if that is the case, how long does Themba Bavuma wait before he applies the declaration, if he is in a position to do so, mindful of the fact that Sri Lanka have chased over 300 at the same venue within the last 5 years or so, but of course, different players, very, very different conditions, different bowling attack as well. Let's switch to the women. Disappointing result for the South African women last night. I thought they played quite well in East London in the first match. I commentated that one for radio on Sunday, and they were in with the fight right up until the end. They fought hard, and some of their players really stood up and were counted. But last night, the England women, and particularly Danny Wyatt-Hodge, played brilliantly up front for 78, and Nat Silverbrunt is having an excellent series. She made 67 not out, her second big score at the tournament, and it looked like a really big total. And of course, the early loss of Tasman Brits didn't help the South African cause. They got closer than they maybe should have, but disappointing, I suppose, for them to have lost the T20 series and have a dead rubber to play for at Centurion on Saturday.
It is a bit disappointing, Michael, and they came off the high of the World Cup where they made the final. You're correct, the first match was played on a slow pitch. South Africa lost it with a couple of balls left. Nadine de Klerk was the only one that really stood up and got 29. Yesterday's pitch was totally different. The ball came onto the bat. England struggled at the beginning. If you can remember, they lost two early wickets. South Africa looked like they were straight in there with a great chance to turn it around. And like you said, what a brilliant partnership between Danny and Natalie. And let's just take the game away. 204, South Africa were never going to make it with the likes of Cup out, Senelis out of the team. So once again, Nadine de Klerk and Chloe Tryon had to pull it back a bit. But it was after eight overs, it was gone.
And the other issue for both teams, actually, but particularly for the South Africans, is the catching in over the course of the two matches has been very poor. Lots of drop chances. Laura Wolfart last night, in fact, dropped in the covers before she had scored. Very, very poor effort from the England fielders. But South Africa themselves have dropped a number of key catches in the series that could have made a big difference.
And at vital times as well. And against the big batters. At this level, at any level of international cricket, you can't do it. But you're correct. And they weren't hard catches. There was one on the boundary, which was extremely tough and cost them a couple of runs. But the other ones were pretty basic. Once again, it's very disappointing after the great World Cup that the women had. Mm. And I think as long as the people show intensity and are able to do the basics, the people will get behind them. But it has been disappointing. It's a dead rubber on Saturday, but I'm sure the women won't feel that way. There's a lot to play for. Mm. And there's still three ODIs coming up as well as the test match. So still a lot to play for, but yeah, two disappointing results.
Kevin, I can't let you go without talking to you about the big, big game on Saturday, and it's a huge game. Norwich at home to Luton, our two sides playing each other. A very, very different form this week. Norwich won 6-1. Luton had a disappointing away loss against a very, very good lead side, it's got to be said. What are your expectations for the game on Saturday that I'm sure you and I will both be watching?
Well, I was going to bring it up. I'm sure you're hoping that this test match gets it's finalized probably by tomorrow or at least Saturday lunchtime, so you can watch the game. I think it starts at 5. Look, it's my team. I'm going to back them. Your team is in Norwich is obviously in high spirits and in form. Luton was horrendous against Leeds yesterday, really creating nothing, and it should have been 5-0. However, once again, sometimes the good teams pitch up when it's important. There's no expectations on us, so we have nothing to lose. We're going to Carrow Road, so let's give it a go. And you never know. Sometimes too much confidence is also not a good thing, and Norwich's confidence will be up.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I mean, they going into before the 6-2 win that they had, they hadn't won any of their last six matches before then. They had three draws and then three losses back to back, but they were missing a lot of players who are now back. It's going to be very, very exciting. Look forward to that one. Look forward to chatting cricket with you again in the days and weeks ahead. So much cricket coming up over the course of the summer. It really is a bumper cricket home season for the fans, and glad that the SABC can cover it and can bring coverage to people around the country. Kevin, as always, great to chat to you. Thanks so much. Enjoy the remaining days of the test match, and let's hope that it continues to deliver amazing expectations for our cricket fans around the country.
Thank you. And before I get off this call, I would just encourage your listeners to go online, listen to the SABC coverage, get an account, and listen. I think the work that SABC is doing, the commentators are brilliant. Obviously, I think your passion is brilliant, but I really encourage the people, don't just do the normal traditional ways. Get out there and listen to it and get the vibe.
Fantastic, Kevin. Thank you so much for those kind words. We'll chat to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a lovely evening.